So Eric, thanks so much for agreeing to talk to me about this topic, policing in the North. Maybe you could start by introducing yourself and talking a little bit about your relationship to this topic of policing.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me to talk about this topic, and really appreciate that. Okay. Well, I've had an academic interest in policing for quite a while now, and also just a general interest as a citizen and a person who lives in Prince George. It's an important topic to follow. So, in terms of my my academic interest, that goes back to I mean I can go a long ways back, but we don't have time for that. yeah, if I go back 20 years or the mid 90s, that's when I really took an interest in policing. I'd already finished my master's degree in criminology, and I was quite interested in political terrorism at the time, but for various reasons I got interested in policing, and that's what I worked on for my dissertation, which I didn't finish because I ended up working in Prince George. There was an opportunity to work here at the College of New Caledonia teaching criminology and sociology, so I kind of got going on that, but I was always interested in this idea of policing, I don't know how much you want to know about my particular thesis, but it took more of a critical approach to the topic than what a lot of the different dissertations were interested in.
Do you find
at the time?
Was it a little more critical in nature for the department for criminology, or did you say you were in sociology?
Well, there's always a strong component of critical theory in criminology. And by the way, I went to Simon Fraser University, and it's really a great crim department there. So critical theory is always a strong part of criminology and sociology as well. So they kind of went together. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go to UBC in the mid-90s and just get more deeply involved in understanding the different theories. So I spent a lot of time reading Foucault and a lot of those kinds of theorists, and people like David Garland. Mm-hmm. I studied with Richard Erickson, who was an expert on policing from a critical perspective. So I was really interested in that approach, because the conventional understandings of policing really are kind of from the perspective of policing or the perspective of the Canadian state. Hmm. And so with the RCMP, for instance, there's kind of this mythology that has gone hand in hand with developments, whatever they are in policing over the years, going back into the late 1800s and all the way up to the present. And so this mythology kind of excludes a lot of criticism of the RCMP, which could be, I think, really productive and constructive for kind of moving forward and dealing with a lot of the problems that the RCMP has to deal with in many communities across Canada, including Prince George. So,
could you talk a little bit about that relationship between the municipalities and the RCMP, or maybe specifically Prince George and the RCMP?
Well, what people need to understand is there's something called contract policing with the RCMP. So every province that wants to contract with the RCMP can. And so at the provincial level, we have a 20-year contract, which kind of ties us in a crazy way. And we have another, when was that? 2012, I think, we signed another 20-year contract. And what that does is it gives the province and the various municipalities within the province a certain amount of predictability. But unfortunately, it's not always the best result when it comes to policing. And so you have across Canada all these different kinds of policing, different police forces. And the RCMP is expected to deal with, through these contracts, to deal with all kinds of problems that it was really never created to deal with. Hmm. It's a national police force, and really its strength is at the national level, dealing with cybercrime, national issues, I mean, things like tax evasion and so on. That's questions of national security. That's its strength, and it's really not equipped to deal with the kinds of issues that we see in communities today. And I'm referring specifically to things like mental health issues, homelessness, just a range of issues that require other professionals, ideally, to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And has the purpose or the relationship the RCMP has to the town and to kind of more on-the-ground issues changed over the years? Have you observed a change over time, or has it been pretty consistent since you started kind of looking at this critically?
Well, some things are the same. Some things don't change, as the cliche goes, and some things definitely do. So what doesn't change is a kind of visceral reaction to street crimes when they happen. For instance, a few weeks ago on the street where I live, there was a drive-by shooting. Actually, there were a couple of them in the daytime. Well, one was in the evening, one was in the daytime. And everybody in the community started talking to each other. And there's a general agreement that this is a very dangerous thing. And, of course, it was. And so what that fear results in, it often is a kind of response that what we need is more punishment. And we need the courts to deal more effectively and punish these offenders, and that'll straighten out the problem. So that's the kind of stuff that doesn't change too much. But other things do change. There's a greater public awareness that we really need to solve certain kinds of problems, such as homelessness, and deal with the mental health issues, which take up a substantial amount of police time in Prince George, for example. And so that's what needs to be dealt with. And it seems like everybody understands that. The Prince George Municipality, City Hall, they understand that. They're devoting some attention to that problem in their budget. And so that's a good thing. Unfortunately, the way that policing is structured across the country is rather chaotic. Hmm. And I'll just want to quote one of my professors from many years ago at Simon Fraser University, Robert Gordon, at the School of Criminology there, talks about how quote, it's a balkanized system and it makes for inefficient and, I think, costly policing. And he's absolutely right. It's very expensive and it's not doing the best job. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation initially was as a result of the findings of the City Budget Survey. And of the 1,000 respondents, 40% of them felt like Prince George should be spending more on policing, despite it being the biggest budget line item already, which I think your point speaks to. What do you make of that in terms of what it says about our attitudes towards policing?
Well, there's I didn't read the survey, but what I'd be interested in finding out is whether people really understand that, yes, we can spend more money on policing, but should that money be spent more on the kind of crime control initiatives, the enforcement, that kind of style of policing, or which is important, but should we also not focus on, like I was mentioning earlier, some of the kinds of problems involving, mental health workers and social workers would be ideal to deal with those kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. And there's still too much attention, I think, focused on the crime control aspect of policing. So I do believe there's some money that was budgeted for mental health workers. There is some of that going on in Prince George, but it's costly and it's nowhere close to what really is needed. And of course, to deal with things like homelessness and how mental health is tied into that, there needs to be much more of a structural approach or a systemic approach to dealing with these problems.
Mm-hmm. And if the city or the RCMP more generally were to kind of try and implement a different approach, like you mentioned, do you think it would be well received by the community at this point in time, or do you think there's work to be done in kind of shifting attitudes towards policing as it intersects with mental health and addiction and substance use and homelessness?
Well, I think the city is trying to respond to this to these kinds of problems with policing,
mm-hmm.
and of course, there's always the big news story involving the drug bust and that sort of thing. So there's in some ways more than enough information about what the concerns should be in involving policing, but until there's a restructuring of policing at the national level, there's only going to be a piecemeal approach to dealing with these local issues. And so, you know, there will be some benefit, a few changes might be noticed, but nothing close to what really is needed. And I think to deal with that, what we can look to are some of the policing models in Europe, in places like Sweden, where they make a concerted effort to deal with the mental health problems that are on the street. But that's a different political, it's a different political system,
mm-hmm.
different political system in Sweden and in the UK, Germany, Holland, etc.
So I'm interested in this this contract policing idea. And how have communities transitioned away from that relationship with the RCMP in the past? And I guess more to the point, is that something that you, in your opinion, think might be beneficial to Prince George, that might allow us to exercise a little more control over the philosophy of policing?
It's very difficult choose a different path than contracting with the RCMP. As I mentioned, a 20-year contract really ties everybody in, and then people forget about it until year 19 or something like that, and then they start to think of alternatives. But it's a big move to decontract with the RCMP and start. For a community to start its own municipal force. But it has been done. Right now, the city of Surrey is going in their own direction and developing their own municipal force. There's a lot of money involved in startup for that, and it is expensive in the first few years, but I think once they get going, there are definitely advantages. So that is approach that municipalities can take, but it's difficult, and the public isn't necessarily behind it.
Right. Have you observed some kind of impetus, like in the example of Surrey? For years, it was kind of really bogged down by some pretty entrenched violent crime, or at least those were the stories that we were hearing out of Surrey.
A lot of gang-related crimes, turf wars, and so on, similar to what has happened in Prince George.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have no doubt that's part of the decision making in the approach. But one of the problems is our legal system, and for many years, cannabis was a criminalized substance, and now that's changed. But there are a lot of professionals who are advocating to have all drugs decriminalized, and then instead of that, focusing on substance abuse as a social or a medical problem, rather than designating it as a criminal justice issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has some merit.
And it is hard to imagine a scenario under which that would be adopted without kind of big, like you said, systemic structural changes. Looking to the future, how do you kind of see policing progress? Where are next steps?
Well, I wish I could say it was moving in the direction towards dealing with a lot of the systemic problems, racism, misogyny, et cetera, all of these issues are well documented. Yet I just don't see that there's much of a public interest in changing things and shifting the paradigm.
Do you feel that way?
Dealing with it at a local level.
Hmm.
But in contrast to that, though, there are a few places across Canada where there are changes. I think is it Vancouver? The mayor wants to, or has advocated decriminalizing all drugs
Vancouver and
problems.
Winnipeg, I think.
Yeah. So it is possible, but it's very difficult. And I really would prefer to see the RCMP focus on national priorities.
Mm-hmm.
We lose billions of dollars to tax evasion, for instance. Cyber crime is a big problem. Mm-hmm. Environmental crimes are a major issue, mm-hmm. and yet those things are being neglected.
Yes, lots of work to be done. Eric, just to wrap up, if people are interested in learning more about this topic, what would you suggest? What resources have benefited you or your students in the past to kind of get a base understanding of where we're at in terms of policing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I could recommend a book that just recently become familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Just started reading by Jane Gerster, G-E-R-S-T-E-R. It was published earlier this year. And it's called For the Good of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comprehensive, critical look at the RCMP. And there are all kinds of other books. If a person was interested, you can do a search. And that's a possibility.
Or take a class at the College of New Caledonia with.
That's right. I could say if I was still working there, I could say, well, take my course on policing, which is running right now. But there is a course. It's not running right now. It's running starting in January. And so you take a course. Take that course.
Mm-hmm.
Policing, what is it? Criminology 201, policing, modern policing. And it's a good course to take.
Great.
And there's lots of other courses. Now you can take everything online. Well, you have to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So SFU has wonderful resources.
Yeah, that's the advantage, I guess, of having everything moved online, is we can cast a wider net when it comes to filling that need. Eric, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
All right, take care.
Yeah, you too.